Moving forward.
Hey, how's it? Look, I know. I took an unexpected break, but a lot of important things came up, and I'm sure you guys could have used the mental health day from thinking about everything. And now that we've got, you know, the national conversation behind us from last time, and the midterms are in rear view, it's time to reflect and move forward on Maui. County council numbers came out as expected per the candidates' clout and spending capacity, but the people definitely spoke when it came to the most embedded grassroots campaigns. Ultimately, the biggest shakeup is the mayor's race. In a clear difference of votes, Richard Bisson is now mayor-elect, and Victorino will close out his term as mayor of Maui. It was clear across the social media sphere and on the streets that this change was to come. Victorino relied too much on non-campaign activities and failed to really connect with the constituency in the time that he had as mayor, and certainly the public reaction to Rona rules didn't help, many of which were out of his hands, but as mayor, he was subject to scrutiny for it anyway. So, Richard Bisson is now mayor-elect and accepting resumes for the new administration. And quite frankly, this will be a great opportunity for folks to stand up and become a force for change in their community. If you're looking for a job or looking to change your career, you should consider putting together a resume and, you know, send it in to the Bisson team. Looking forward to what the judge can do and what the eventual team will do. Hoping to see, you know, what the changes are to the regime. I mean, we've got a lot of crony appointed positions, as we've noticed, that even predated Victorino. So, I'm hoping that now that we're out of the COVID window, those jobs are no longer locked in place and they're no longer secure for said peoples. And hoping to see the right people assume those positions and serve the community's needs instead of special interests. Now, the council. All right. So, like, from the top to bottom, who did we get? I did post on the Rabbit Holes feed and Instagram and Facebook, and then even reposted on my personal, if you follow me there, the outcome for the Maui County election. You guys can go check all the other stuff for the state. Outside of the whole Josh Green conversation, which we'll get that to that another time. Like, I really have come to commit to this is a conversation about Maui on this show first than anything. You know, we're Maui, local, world news and entertainment, but I really think that this election taught me a lesson in knowing that there's just not enough of a voice for just our island. And if I am to serve the rest of Hawaii properly one day, I think I need to figure out how to just take care of my hometown first. So with that being said, who made council? We got Shane Sinensi, Tamara Paulton, Alice Lee, Tasha Kama, Tom Cook, Noe Uhu-Hodgins, Yuki Lee Sugimura, Gabe Johnson, and Keani Rollins Fernandez. Now, there's a lot of people on that list that we got to talk to, and there's a lot of people on that list that, you know, we didn't talk to. Now, not to say that everybody listens to us, but I was really hoping that we would get a lot more. I did find out, you know, remember when we talked to Angus McKelvey, that maybe they just didn't see it because of the way the whole submission things works. But at the same time, everybody checks the throwaway folder. And, you know, as he did, he forwarded it to the correct email and then continued correspondence from there as he could ethically. So knowing that I at least sent those out three times, and I have receipts for most everybody as long as they were put into the system correctly in the registrar. But I think with knowing how this worked out, there's going to have to be more than an email. You know, I mean, I am kind of used to like a little bit more corporate Hollywood things way of being done. So maybe an email was too much, you know, especially as I'm finding settling in and working with the community, like, We're not completely email people yet. I got this good like 2005 vibe going on. It's like I never really left. You know, and I don't say that's a bad thing, because I got to say that there's some key rural features that I'm loving about it. I mean, it does kind of, like, the social sphere is like an episode of Gilmore Girls sometimes, and I feel like I'm in Stars Hollow or something, because, like, y'all can be petty mean girls. I think that's why I just hide. That's why I hide on the mic, and then, like, I go to work, and then, like, I hop in a plane and I disappear. I'm that bad dad. I went out for a pack of milk and cigarettes, and I only come back on the radio. But anyways, enough of that. Okay, so in the takeaway from this, our council members, it's we got some trade ins, we got some trade outs. You know, we got some of those Onipa'a names that we met along the way. What does this say for votes? Well, I can say, looking at certain people that are on this list, and as per the conversations that have been going on, all right? So I can't say anything to the ones that we haven't interviewed, but I can tell you I have a feeling about a couple that we might be talking about soon if they don't show up on the show, whether they like it or not, because the second they are accountable at a meeting and can be recorded and we can report on their votes, we're going to report on the votes, because we have a case of what in the public perception seems like, a very bought election at the last minute for one candidate and another candidate who is kind of detached from their real constituency while lobbying in a whole nother district for most of their election and their career. And then we kind of have some same as it ever was folks who do a little bit and then kind of, you know, one step forward, two steps back sometimes. But, I mean, where they sit with the people, it's no wonder why they got reelected or elected. And I will have to say, in general, though, this is the right balance. It wasn't bound to happen to be one complete group. So thinking that was going to occur, you know, you can't have absolutes. We're never going to solve anything in absolutes. You know, I really like what I have to come through to the progressive side, you know, in being a central lining labor conservative, is that, like, we have to learn that, like, our resource system isn't going to be the way we always want it to be. The people we surround ourselves with may not always be there, because when we go into, you know, closed rooms, who are we really there with? Who makes the big decisions? Who do we have to shake hands with that day and do make nice with in order to get things done for the people? So I'm seeing a few people on this list that I know are going to complement each other well. I see some people on this list that will continue to make everyone else bang their head on the wall. I also see some people on this list that will make new relationships, and I even see some unnatural relationships occurring, because I see that per a certain set of people being on this council now, we're going to see some odd alliances occur. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but I do know just the human condition. And look, bro, I may not have been home for like the past 20 years, but, you know, I can kind of spot the archetypes. I mean, we do have plenty of Hawaiians back on the continent, you know. So I see it in action, and I know what this is, what I'm coming home to. So, you know, let's see if they stay on their best behavior. Let's see who actually shows up for more meetups now that there's no election. So all the ones that promised that they would show up, and then hopefully that'll give some of the other ones FOMO and they'll want to show up too. All right, so county council aside, amendments in a full sweep of all the amendments have passed. Now, this is an amazing thing, with the biggest wins being in Iwivi Resources, expanding the housing department to better accommodate affordable housing, and more oversight from council in choosing the mayor's appointed positions, which that could easily put a hamper on crony hiring tactics and give way to more suited members of the community to rise into those positions as they should, as I kind of rambled about earlier. But voter turnout, as always, we still need to talk about voter turnout. I've been talking about this since before the primaries. I got even more cantankerous about it after the primaries, and the number only went up like 3.5 4% or something, because I think it was like, I got to double check the numbers, but I can swear we only got to like somewhere like 42% in Hawaii, in Maui, I mean. But anyways, we got 45.7% voter turnout on Maui. Just under half of us made it to the polls, with only 2% actually walking up to the ballot box, and an overwhelming number of mail-in voters. It is clear that mail-in voting is the only thing keeping democracy intact on this island. But if we want to see an even better outcome in future elections, we all need to be showing up at the polls. But what is it that keeps half of us from making it to Election Day? Is it apathy, distrust of the system, or are they just bad at marking their calendar? I don't know, but we're going to find out between now and the next election as we try to whip higher voter registration and turnout for next time. Because next time, there could be a lot more on the table, and that will need everybody on deck to help decide and make change both locally, statewide, and nationally. Moving forward.
We live in a fast-paced world where many people are too busy to sit down and read books or news articles. But thanks to Newsly, you can now listen to the news you wish you had the time to read. By utilizing AI technology, a natural human voice reads you the news, helping you grasp the information faster and more efficiently. Newsly provides the latest news updates 24/7, letting you browse articles from topics you choose. It even has podcasts, including ours. And listeners of Rabbit Holes can get their first 30 days of premium for free, allowing you to enjoy an ad-free experience by using the special promo code in our episode description. So download Newsly today for free on iOS and Android, or visit www.newsly.me so you can stay updated on the things that matter to you. Moving forward.
Of things we could be voting on, you know, things that we didn't vote on this time, but I feel it's coming. You know what I feel is coming. Mary Jane, cannabis, the devil's lettuce, marijuana. And why am I bringing this up? Because there was a terribly misinformed op-ed I saw recently in one of our merry one-sided newspapers here on the islands. To give you the cliff notes, they went on to use outdated and disproven reasoning by pushing some old myths. So let's go over them and talk about some others. One, weed is a gateway drug. Now, the campaign against marijuana has constantly stated that Mary Jane is the reason why 99% of hard drug users become the users that they were. Okay, that number they pulled out of thin air. And this is outright unprovable, and it was confirmed by a lengthy study that even made it into the Library of Congress in 2018, which noted that there is, quote, no causal link between cannabis use and the use of other illicit drugs can be claimed at this time. But we're constantly told by politicians in the anti-weed lobby and propaganda programs like DARE that if we take a puff, we're going to end up selling our flesh on the street for meth in a matter of time. Now, as it's proven by weed being legalized in more than a third of the country, that's not the case. I can personally say that thanks to medical marijuana, yours truly beat a painkiller addiction and an even ended my addiction to alcohol. So I can say anecdotally that it's the exact opposite, and I know many other folks who can say the same thing, as I was there for their path to recovery as they were there for mine. Now, the next thing, marijuana causes violence and crime. Now, this myth is the most laughable, as it tries to correlate criminals with usage, never mind the fact that criminals had already been criminals before weed and are still criminals after weed. The Justice Department even weighed in on this by conducting a study in Washington that concluded, quote, neither cannabis-related crime nor more serious offenses seem to be affected by legalization. Because who's going to rob a bank or get in a fight when they've got Mondo couch lock, right? Next problem. It's extremely addictive to youth. Look, bro, everything is addictive to youth, especially a youth in constant escape from the crushing ennui of American existence. Our brains don't fully form until we're 25, and it's possible in our development to become addicted to certain responses. By the same observations, we could call masturbation and video game playing a crippling addiction that children face along with everything from food to hobbies. Should kids be smoking weed, though? No. But it doesn't mean prohibition should occur. Alcohol and cigarettes are accessed by kids, yet nothing is being done to heavy enforce that outside of like fucking TikTok shaming videos these days. So it seems the items themselves or the failure of a society that pushes them toward it. Now, and kids, you're listening, just try to stay away from it and all other substances until you're like 25 or 30-ish. I mean, your brain will thank you for it. And then if you want to try it, your body will be more formed and prepared for exposure and usage. I mean, as a parent, I know there's never stopping the curiosity of youth, and telling them not to will only make them more interested. So pacing and advising is the best we can do until they're old enough to make their own decisions. Moderation is key. Look, bro, if you're going to try it, just tell me you're going to do it. So that way, when I have to bail your ass out later, like, am I just, like, splashing some water on your face and feeding you some taquitos? Or do we have to break out the Narcan? Just fucking tell me the truth. And maybe you'll grow up in the process and realize you don't need it anyways. All right? Next, they brought up unrealistic expectations of regulation. I mean, that's like saying you can't do it, so you don't want to. You know, they brought up California. And California's weed cartels are constantly used as an example, but what everyone fails to comment on is the corrupt police departments like the LAPD and the San Diego sheriffs that purposely look the other way because their involvement in the drugs and gun trade that have been established since the Contra days, when crack was distributed to the streets by the CIA and law enforcement to destabilize black neighborhoods to cull the population. Bro, get yourself a Reagan documentary and just, like, breeze it. You know, we also have huge issues with crony politics, gray area zoning that allows these illegal operations to exist. As I found out years ago talking with public officials in California, many of the cartels were allowed into the dispensary lotteries knowingly because of how much revenue was generated by the sale of said lottery tickets, with cartels buying multiple entries and cities gladly accepting the dirty money. So is regulation unrealistic, or are the people intended to regulate corruptible, and we need to hold them accountable by stripping them of their positions and appointing commissions to investigate how to do this better? And correlating from that point, we get to black market weed. Now, some say, you know, it outsells legal dispensaries, and in many cases it can. And this happens because it's overtaxed. If they spent more time regulating it instead of taxing, we'd see a price point drop that creates a better draw to safer and authorized medical marijuana. We also need to spend more time dispelling the myth that becoming a licensed medical marijuana user will make you a social pariah in the workplace or tracked by the government. Being a registered medical marijuana user is protected by HIPAA, and your status does not have to be shared, as it is your private medical right not to. So if you're smoking, bro, you know how to tell, all right? As long as you're not, like, getting away at work or anything, like, nobody needs to know. Furthermore, we need to make better efforts in legalizing rogue farms, as many of them wish they could be legal, but are discouraged by a system rife with bias, as proven by restricting expansion in minority neighborhoods in an attempt to keep them gentrified, and keeping those that had weed convictions before legalization out of the game because they've been branded as criminals. Bro, they were growing. Now it's legal. Bring them into the game and offer incentives. This has helped in many states, and it will continue to make a difference, as those labeled inequitable before are allowed to enter the industry to become professionals that are respected, who gladly pay a simple tax to make their whole game legit. Then there was their closing statement on fentanyl. Drawing a loose tie between two drugs is a fallacy no different than the first I mentioned about gateway drugs. Are growers and sellers putting fentanyl on weed? Rarely, if ever, as it makes no impact on their sale of their product or increases its value. It would also waste an extreme amount of product, since dusting it on weed is an impractical form of application, making much of it trash on the ground if it's done. And in many cases, the two drugs don't circulate through the same sellers. Fentanyl is South American in origin and shipped via cartels who have invested in influencing the American South to become part of its trade. Corrupt police help move it along with guns and allow it to cross the border so much that it's now reported that the state of Arkansas has gone from being the biggest buyer to becoming the biggest U.S. manufacturer, and Washington State is not too far behind, as the cartels have moved into America and purchased houses within million-dollar communities to produce it right under our noses. And the police and DEA have not done enough to fight it, because it is reasoned they're part of a scheme no different than that of the crack epidemic they created years ago. Great embedded journalist, Marianne Van Zeller, I mentioned her before. Trafficked. Go check out the show. There's actually coverage on this. You want to see like her go talk to a LAPD officer, a sheriff, and then go talk to a Sinaloa cartel guy, and she all met through the same guy because they helping run the guns and drugs. Enlighten yourselves. Go check it out. Now, see, this weak connection is trying to shift all the blame to the weed community instead of leading a better offensive against fentanyl, which is being muled into Hawaii and only being caught occasionally because the DEA and law enforcement willingly let some product reach its endpoint to better build their cases. They literally could end this if they increased confiscation rates and focused on the product more than the singular criminal who could be pushed out of business. But instead, they hope of catching some international big fish so they'll never see, and they'll justify a few bodies here and there in order to learn more about the criminals instead of protecting us from them. And that itself is a rabbit hole for another time. So is legalizing weed perfect? No. Nothing is. But it doesn't mean demonizing something that has exponential evidence in the positives versus the negatives. It means we should tread lightly. Enforce what the agreed law is when it's voted on, making the effort to educate our youth and the patients who consider it. We should also be getting over the social shunning and negativity, because I think it's funny that people most against it publicly are the ones in line at the dispo. The ones who know the truth and aren't speaking up are actually much closer in demographic to the average person I see in line or talk with when I go to my favorite dispensaries on the continent. And trust me, I've seen a lot. The second that shiz became illegal, I got me a card in nearly every state. All right, I have become an aficionado to a degree that's helped me find answers through more than just smoking it, because half of us don't even smoke it anymore. I do, but frankly, many people realize there's more value in controlling its effects if you can digest it or topically apply it. There are children in Colorado using tinctures for epilepsy to reduce seizures by dropping it directly into their eyes. There are people fighting anxiety through CBD and using that to produce a body positivity that gets them back into shape while fighting an eating disorder. There are kapuna who spend half their time getting chemo treatment that just need a little brownie, so they find the urge to eat after getting pumped with radiation all day. And then there's just normal folks who want a relaxing weekend. You know, Auntie's got 1 week in a month without her kids or man-child husband, and they eat one gummy with a glass of wine and catch up on all their sleep debt by falling asleep in front of their She-Hulk marathon. That's the general population you see these places. And I can tell you, it's no different at the illegal dispensaries either. I've gone into a few to discover what the world was like, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are just as much, if not more, old ladies and CEO stoners walking into the illegal ones because they're afraid of being spotted at a legal one due to the stigma. So, in my full response to this op-ed writer, I've now found my next long-term rabbit hole since the election has ended. I mean, mahalo for the mission. We're going to lobby for weed legalization by providing education on it and providing a platform for it here on the show. We're going to talk to growers, to dispo owners. We're even going to try and talk to those that consume it and what those on the other side of legality have to say about it, so you, the listener, can hear it straight from the horse's mouth. I mean, who knows? We might even run into a police officer, politician, or local celebrity that's for it too. I think that's a great way to go into our next year. And it'll certainly make for a good conversation, since, I mean, I've already seen this happen in other states, and I've been a part of the conversation in other states. So this is all half for me. I think we can do this, all right? You know, this will make for a good conversation. I'll make my way out of hiding behind the excuse for work and actually go out into the community more often and talk story with y'all. You know, maybe we can convocate about this a little bit on, at Maui Comic Con. But mahalo for listening today, guys. Thanks for just letting me go down this crazy tirade today. We'll come back with more regular Maui news, but we are going to start seeing some special guests relating to the industry. I'm gonna be scoping them out over the holidays, and we'll see who we can get on here, and they can tell you what the real is. All right, so I'll catch y'all next time as I discuss the dumpster fire that is Twitter on the World Weekly. Until then, be good to yourself. And if you're good with you, then make good with others. Until everyone's good. Aloha.